Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled, God Is. If you would like more information on our podcast or North Valley Church, you can reach us on our website, nvcmd.org.
So when I say gear guy, gadget guy, does anybody else follow what I mean? No? Wow, okay. So there's a category of some of us who are either gadget guys or gear guys. A gadget guy, when the new iPhone comes out, they're freaking out. They've got to go read up on it and probably go get it as soon as they can afford it. When the new speaker system comes out, they're reading the specs and it's like, oh, I need to upgrade my home stereo because I need the new thing. So the gadget person, when the new cool stuff comes out, they've got to be one of those leading edge first adopters. And they want to go get that. A gear guy is somebody that when they decide to do something, the first thing they do is buy all the equipment to go with it, right? If somebody decided they wanted to go hiking, you could just put on some sneakers and go for a hike. No, that's not what I was able to do. When I decided I wanted to go hiking, I didn't just go hiking, I wanted to go backpacking. And before I even started backpacking or doing any serious hiking, I'd already gone to the REI store and dropped a couple of $100 on the backpack, the boots, and blah, blah, blah. You can see my gearness by looking at my footwear, right? I've got a pair of boots that are hiking boots. I only wear the boots when I'm hiking. When I'm not hiking, that's the only thing those boots get used for. I've got another pair of boots that are for yard work, right? They're the nice boots with the hard toes. So when I go outside to do any work, I'm wearing these boots. If I'm not working, I won't wear those boots. I've got a pair of running shoes. Guess what the only thing I do with the running shoes are? Right? I use them to go to the gym, but I'm probably going to spend a couple minutes on a treadmill. So I use the running shoes to be able to go for a run. And that's the only thing they will get used for. My footwear is set apart. Each one has a purpose, a unique purpose, and I've set them apart. They're separated. The work boots are set apart for working. The hiking boots are set apart for hiking. The sneakers, the running shoes, I wear Brook Beasts. If you're a heavy guy like me and you want to wear a running shoe, that's a good heavy-duty running shoe. My running shoes are set apart for that. I want to talk about being set apart. I do that with my footwear. But God has this idea that we can be set apart as well. And he models it by being set apart himself. When we're in church and we want to talk about God and his set apartedness, we use the word holy. When you hear the word holy, that's really what it means. It means set apart. The word holy comes from the Greek word, or I'm sorry, Hebrew word. The word holy comes from the Hebrew word kodesh, which means apartness and sacred, right? So my footwear is set apart, but I wouldn't call it holy because I don't use it for sacred purposes. But when we are setting something aside and we're giving it a sacred purpose, we could use the word holy. So we're in the middle of, or we're actually at the end. We have been doing this series of God Is and these attributes that are communicable and moral attributes that we would be able to apply and adopt in areas we can grow in for ourselves. But they start with being part of who God is. Holy and holy, God's holiness is one of these attributes that actually dovetail into a couple of different areas of who God is. In the past, when I've talked about other attributes, I've talked about these attributes we're talking about are communicable and moral attributes. There are other attributes that we can't do, and I would put them in the category of being metaphysical. Holy is one of those places that lands in both camps. And God's got a metaphysical aspect to his holiness. In Genesis 1:1, we read this very familiar phrase, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So just simple logic for a moment. If God created everything, he needed to exist before everything else did. God is apart from his creation. God is apart from his creation. He created it. If you're hanging out in theological circles, you might hear the word transcendent. When you hear the word transcendent, what we're really talking about is God's separation, his being apart, his metaphysical holiness from his creation. So God is that, but God is also immanent in his creation. So those are two words when you get into this category that you might bounce around. God is transcendent from his creation, but he's also immanent. He hangs out in his creation. And we can see his holiness by the fact that he's separated. We can see his holiness by the fact that he interacts with us. In Isaiah 5:16, it says, "The Lord Almighty will be exalted by his justice, and the holy God will be proved holy by his righteous acts." So we can see that God, his moral qualities are set apart. And we can, when we see him act, it is a reinforcement that God is holy. I want to hang out here on the idea that what this phrase says, that we can see his holiness. He's holy, and we can see that because it's proved by how he acts. And this phrase calls it righteous acts. A couple of weeks ago, Grant did a sermon on righteous, and that righteous and justice are interrelated. And so we treated righteous and holy separately. But like other attributes of God, they interrelate with each other, right? There's something about God's perfectness and his truthfulness. There's something about God's holiness and his righteousness that are related. But I want us to, I'm going to take a moment and do just a wee bit of a rabbit trail. I want to talk about God's holiness and that it's not the same as God's righteousness. We can see God's holiness that he set apart through his actions, his righteous actions, but righteous and holy aren't the same thing. And one of the ways that I cement that in my mind is that inanimate objects can be holy. So take a look here for a moment. These are a couple of things. In the time of Moses, they were building a tabernacle, this portable temple that they would be able to carry around. Inside the temple, there were different areas. One of those areas was called the most holy place. In 1 Kings 6:16, it says, "He partitioned off 20 cubits at the rear of the temple with cedar boards from floor to ceiling to form within the temple an inner sanctuary, the most holy place." So hang out there for a second. An inanimate object can be holy. This area, this thing, we can consider it being holy. Not only was the area and what they built it out of holy, but the stuff that was inside is also holy. In 1 Chronicles 23, Aaron was set apart, and he and his descendants forever to, if you're an underliner, consecrate the most holy things, to offer sacrifices before the Lord, to minister before him, and to pronounce blessings in his name forever. That the tools that were inside this most holy place were also holy. That these inanimate objects, the place, the tools that they used, the furniture that they used to do sacrifices with, you could call that most holy stuff, and it was used in a most holy place. So I got one more example I want to share. We are blessed. North Valley Church has only existed, we're in November, so we've been here 4 years. On November 17th, 4 years ago, we voted, let's turn Myersville into North Valley Church. But this was originally Myersville Baptist Church. And Myersville Baptist Church had existed for 50 years. But this building is only 30 years old. So there was a space where Myersville Baptist Church existed, and then they acquired the land and they built the building. So there's a picture up there. If you can squint and see, there's a guy standing up there. What you're looking at is a picture of the groundbreaking ceremony for this building. They're actually on this land taking a picture. If you stand around and look, you can see, well, he's kind of looking that way. And that's a picture of Pastor Mullins doing a presentation at the groundbreaking ceremony. What's he standing behind? This podium. I want you to catch this for a moment. This just weirds me out when I say it. This podium has been here longer than the building. Is that crazy or what? You could say this podium is holy. It has been set apart for God's good purpose. So here's my rabbit trail. The podium has no moral qualities. The podium cannot sin. When you get on the internet and search for holy, I'm sharing this because you if you go do some research on holy, you will run into it. When you go on the internet and search for holy, you will find some Christian leaders define holy as without sin. And I'm sharing all this to give you a reason to say that's not a completely accurate statement. This podium never has sin, yet it can or cannot be set apart as holy. As we think about how holy applies to us, it means so much more than whether or not we have sin in our life or not. It's something bigger. It's something broader. Now, if I'm acting and living a holy life, will that manifest itself into me sinning less? Yeah. But my holiness isn't necessarily measured completely by my sin or sinlessness. We can be set apart as holy apart from that. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to be holy? And it's a question we need to take a couple minutes to wrestle with. In 1 Chronicles 23:13, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy.'" God challenges us to be holy. So what does that look like for us? What does it look like that I am set apart for God? It looks like, it ought to look like every piece of our life. Why, we can see God's holiness by his righteous act. People ought to be able to see our holiness in pretty much every aspect of our life. Is the job you're working helping you set yourself apart for God? I'm not saying you can't be a teacher, bookmaker, candlestick maker, baker. You can be all those things and be set apart for God. But is the job that you're doing helping you be set apart for God? Are the relationships you have working in a way to help you be set apart from God? Are the relationships that we have and how we manage those relationships, are we doing those in a manner that they're set apart for God? See, it becomes a lot broader than just simple sin or not sin. Recognizing that God is holy and set apart and he calls us to do that is this big, broad deal. I want us to be able to wrestle with that today. I would like for us to just take a moment and what are the things that we're doing or not doing that set us apart from God? Right? It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. It doesn't mean you need to be perfect. But am I acting in a way so that I'm set myself apart from God? I joked earlier that, well, this sermon feels like it might be short. I think it is short. We're almost there. Maybe today, the thing that you want to do to start the journey of setting yourself apart from God is to develop a relationship with him. Maybe the first thing you need to do is just accept, wow, there are places in my life that I need help, that I don't do so well. And as I do those things, I'm separating myself from my Father in heaven. Maybe this is an opportunity, a little ping, to be able to say, I need to start investing in a relationship with him by accepting that I need help. I can't do it all on my own. And when I try and work on my own, I'm going to drop the ball. I'm going to fail. What do I have in place to help me through that? Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago. He was holy. He was perfect, and he was sinless. And when he died on the cross for us, he demonstrated that he has power and authority over sin and death. When we put our faith and trust in him and what it is that he's done on the cross, not on our own efforts, our transformation happens. We are opened up to eternity in heaven, as well as we have an opportunity to have the Holy Spirit walk with us now. I think to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 identifies that we have this sinful nature inside of us that wants to convince us to do things that are outside God's will. And then it counters that we also have, for those of us who believe, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And those two things are in war of each other. And so for those of you who've been Christians for a while, you know what I'm talking about. I've got a propensity for not doing the right thing, but I've also got the Holy Spirit that moves me in that way, in the way of following God, recognizing and convicting me. If I don't have that Holy Spirit, I've lost my ability to fight against the natural thing inside me. So if you've never done that before today, man, maybe today's the day to do that. Maybe this Thanksgiving, Christmas, holiday season is an opportunity for you to be able to say, hey, I want to have that kind of relationship with God. If you've never done that before today, I would love to talk to you. We'll be eating pizza, putting up Christmas decorations, eating meat and cheese platters, vegetables, fruit. I got lots of food. But we'll be hanging out. Maybe you can pull me aside and say, hey, can I talk? If you'd rather not talk today, you can always send an email to info@nvcmd.org. Okay. Is it going to feel like a family service? I'm going to invite the band back up. And if you could, the rest of us, just take a moment and let's bow our heads for a moment. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, where are you calling us to be moved into being holy? What about our lives does look like we're set apart for you? With the way we spend our time and money, with the choices we make in relationships, when we're having fun, the choices we make when we're struggling. Are we doing it recognizing that we're set apart for you? Lord, I pray that you would help us celebrate the moments when we are do that well, but Lord, that you would also speak to us about the areas you would like us to make some better decisions, to be moved and set apart for your holy purpose. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the Thanksgiving season. Lord. And coming up, we're actually at the end of the service. We'll kick off Christmas a little bit, if that's okay. But we do all this, Lord, asking you to set us as individuals apart. Lord, I ask that you would set apart North Valley Church as well for your good purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.